everybody, and welcome. You're listening to The Leadership Focus, an internet radio show geared to everyday leadership, both at work and throughout your life. Each week, we present you with new ideas, interesting guests, and actionable strategies to help you be an incredible leader with a more balanced life. I'm your host, Lisa Pasbjorg, Executive Coach and CEO of Focus Coaching, a leadership coaching and training firm based in Ann Arbor, Michigan. Tonight, our topic is, are you a reluctant networker? Mission-critical skills for leaders. And our guest tonight is Greg Peters. Greg is the owner and founder of a web development business, which he started in 1994. He quickly found his training as a computer programmer had not prepared him well for the challenges of running a company and, as he puts it, interacting with the rest of humanity. Through study, practice, and a lot of trial and error, he has developed his skills as a networker to the point that, despite the recent economic challenges, his business has grown every year for the past 3 years. A sought-after speaker on the topic, Greg also publishes a blog called The Reluctant Networker, where his work can be viewed online. Welcome, Greg.
Hi, Lisa.
Good to have you here. Thanks for coming.
Well, thank you for having me.
Yeah. I liked your description of interacting with the rest of humanity. So, Greg, you said you realized your training as a programmer was not enough to prepare you to be a successful business owner. How did you figure this out?
Well, training as a computer programmer pretty much is a good technical skill, but it doesn't really prepare you to plan for events in a business, nor does it encourage you to actually communicate with other human beings, because chances are you're in front of the computer all the time.
Yeah.
In fact, there's an old joke about you can tell if a computer programmer is extroverted if he's looking at your shoes when he's talking to you.
I haven't heard that one, but that's good. Yeah. Yeah. So can you give us some examples of you know, when you moved into the running your own business and having to obviously build the business and connect with other human beings, how that created problems for you?
Well, at the very beginning, when I first thought I was going to go off on my own, mm-hmm. I, thinking like a very good mathematical thinker, came up with the idea that, well, all I have to do is work this many hours and then I'll have all this money. Not realizing that I actually have to talk with people in order to get them to buy my services. So when I had discovered that, I realized I was going to have to go out and do a little bit of networking and actually meet with people. I would go to these networking events, and I would walk in, and I didn't know what to do. I would freeze up. I would have to go sit in the corner and hope that someone would come over and rescue me. And needless to say, that was not a very productive way of getting business.
Yeah, yeah. Did people come over and rescue you?
Very rarely, and most of them were uh-huh. actually trying to sell to me. I had a number of offers for insurance, but other than that, not a whole lot of people who were actually interested in my services.
I see. So they came over and tried to sell you something.
Yes.
Well, what was the big aha moment when you figured out that you needed to do something different and to learn the process of networking?
You know, interestingly enough, my aha moment came when I realized that I had lost a great networking contact.
Ah.
One of my very first consulting jobs, the two gentlemen I worked with, they were remarkably good networkers. And they called me in on numerous projects. In fact, one of them was on the board of several nonprofit organizations, and anytime any of them had problems, he would call me in. I didn't nurture that relationship. I took it for granted, and suddenly it just went away.
Mm.
And that was when I realized, ooh, there's something here that I've got to be better at. I've got to learn how to nurture those relationships.
So that was a costly experience.
Yeah, it hurt a little bit. I was very fortunate that many of the relationships that were spawned from that initial connection continued to pay me back, but I definitely learned to treasure them a lot more.
It sounds like you have a quick learner feedback loop where you went, ah.
I'm kind of shortening the story a little bit. It took me a few years to kind of figure out what I was doing wrong.
Okay. Okay. Well, you know, I've only known you for, what, a couple years now, maybe?
I think, yeah, we met a couple years ago at one of the chamber networking events.
Yeah, it's hard to imagine you as not interacting easily with people. So that's, you know, just as feedback, that's how much you've transformed yourself. I never would have guessed that.
Well, thank you. Actually, it's funny. When I do tell people that I am I'm actually an introvert, they tend to be a little shocked, but it's true. I do not gain energy from being around a large group of people. In fact, usually after a networking event, I have to go back to my office and curl into a fetal position for a while. But you learn to get past that. And introverts actually have an advantage in some ways because we like to listen.
Right. Yeah, I consider myself to be an introvert too, and it's interesting because people often will say to me, they'll be shocked when I say that, because I do a lot of presenting and I do a lot of, you know, doing things where I'm putting myself out to people, out there, just putting that energy out. But it takes work, but it's definitely, it can be a learned skill to
and that's the good
to
news.
Act more extrovert-like, if you will. So what's you talked about trial and error. What was some of the trial and error stuff that you then
played around? Oh, my goodness. Well, back in the day, I would, just an example, I would go to these networking events, and I don't know where I picked up this particular piece of information, but I would, whenever I was asked for a business card, I would always give two because they might want to pass my name along to somebody. And in recent years, I've realized that was remarkably, pushy.
Right.
Because, you've talked with someone for 5 minutes and then you hand them two business cards, and what you're telling them is, I want to borrow your good reputation with all your friends based upon our five-minute conversation.
Our five-minute conversation, exactly.
So that was, it's when I realized that wasn't cool, and it was probably actually putting people off to do that. It was very much
a pretty arrogant kind of thing to do when you think about
very,
it.
Very, very much so, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. So that's one of the trial and error things. Is there anything else that jumps out for you?
Well, one of the things that one of the things that I actually succeeded fairly well is giving information for free.
Mm-hmm.
Basically, providing value for other people with no expectation of immediate return is a remarkably powerful way of maintaining your network connections. I actually, while I was doing my computer business, I actually created an electronic newsletter. And the newsletter was just, I wrote stories about cool tools and toys that I found out on the internet.
Mm-hmm.
And, there was nothing in there other than, at the end, there's a little brief blurb about what I did as far as my business, but there was no, there was no sales to it. There was it wasn't an advertisement. It was just, this is something helpful I can provide you with. The neat thing about that was that probably with every other one I sent out, and I sent them out about every other 2 weeks, so about once a month, I would actually get someone contacting me saying, Greg, I read your newsletter, and it was really interesting, and it reminded me that I wanted to talk to you about this project. So it ended up being very useful, providing that information for free.
Yeah. How interesting. Well, so often now I'll get newsletters or people will want to send me newsletters, and then it really just turns out to be a sales page.
Yes.
Over and over again. There's half a paragraph about something, and then it becomes, and I'm selling you. It's sell, sell, sell. And mm-hmm. I understand if people want to do a newsletter and they want to let you know what they do or what they're offering, but that, I don't sign up to have people barrage me with advertisements.
Exactly.
Yeah,
and that's what I tell my clients, is that if they are going to have a newsletter, it should be purely a form of value added. They're just, all they're doing is giving away their information so that people can learn to appreciate them and recognize them as an expert.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, excellent point. So what about training and study? Are there classes that you would recommend? Are there particular books or courses?
Well, one of the courses I took, which really formed a lot of the basis for, I think, the strongest core of my networking, was one given down in Toledo, and is still given down in Toledo, called the Certified Networker.
Okay.
It has a lot of really good basic information. Well, actually, basic all the way through advanced information on good networking practice.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, there are any number of books. Some of my favorites are Never Eat Alone by Keith Ferrazzi.
Okay.
And Nonstop Networking by Andrea Nirenberg.
Good. And I put you on the spot with that. You apparently have a good memory, too.
Well, fortunately, I'm standing right next to my bookcase, so I can actually pick them out.
Yeah. I've heard of Never Eat Alone. I haven't heard of Nonstop Networking. But
it's,
I'm always interested to know the better ones, you know, rather than everyone.
It's actually a very good one if you don't have any experience in networking at all.
Mm-hmm.
It's a good basic primer. She's actually come out with two more books, which I have on my bookshelf waiting to be read, that, as I understand, actually go into the more advanced networking techniques. So her entire collection is probably worth looking into.
Good. So when and then I guess more importantly, why did you decide to start The Reluctant Networker?
Well, I started it about 6 months ago, and the reason I decided to start it, well, my wife was attending a few of these seminars and career, there were seminars on career development, and they were giving out information that was what I consider to be truly atrocious with respect to networking. One said basically to get on LinkedIn, and that was all you needed. And another one said that she should print out her resume and carry it with her wherever she went so she could hand it to whomever she talked with. And I just thought, that's not
I'm good. Sure that was not well received.
Yeah. It was silly.
Yeah.
So I realized that there is kind of a gap in knowledge out there. And the more I've talked with people, the more I realize that people are really, they're almost terrified of networking, of going to a networking event, of what to do afterward, of calling people on the phone. I mean, they get almost panic-stricken. And I've been there. I know how that nasty feeling in the pit of your stomach when you first walk into that networking event, I don't want people to have to suffer through that. I really want people to feel comfortable walking in, to look for ways of helping each other, and I think that would just make these events so much more fun.
I guess. Well, anything would be more fun than what you're describing, and I know a lot of people feel that way too. So let's take a little break here and let people know who we are and what we're doing in case they're just joining us, and then let's talk about the hows, some of the what do you do, the tactics. Okay.
Sure.
If you're just joining us now, you're listening to the Leadership Focus Radio Show. You can listen to us live Wednesdays at 6 p.m. Eastern or download the show to listen later. I'm your host, Lisa Pasbjorg, and tonight we're talking with Greg Peters about The Reluctant Networker. So, Greg, coming back here, let's talk about tactics.
All right.
One of the possible titles that we batted around for this was something like, what do you say after you say hello?
Mm-hmm.
And I considered that, but I really find when I talk to people that many people have trouble figuring out how to say hello without feeling off. What do you suggest to them?
Well, one of the tricks I picked up when I was still kind of a nervous networker was the concept of acting like a host. When you go to a networking event, pretend you're the one running it.
Yeah.
this has a number of benefits to it. First of all, a host is never should never be late for their own party. So that should encourage you to get there early and on time.
Mm-hmm.
Second, with a little bit of effort, you can find out pretty much all there is to know about the facilities. So you'll know where the lunch line is. You'll know where the speaker's going to be standing. You'll know where the best seats are going to be. That'll make you a resource naturally for anybody who's walking in after that. Then you can also mm-hmm. look around for the people who are having real problems. You know, you'll know who they are. They're the ones standing on the edge waiting for someone to rescue them.
Mm-hmm.
Allowing yourself to be the hero, to be the person who rescues, makes it so much easier. And then all you have to do is walk up to them and say, it looks like you might be new here, or are you new here?
Mm-hmm.
Is there someone you're looking for? Makes it really easy. Once you have information
that
you can provide
to them. And then
they look
at you like, oh, thank goodness.
Yeah, pretty much.
I don't know a soul. Yeah.
And that's okay.
Well, that's great. Yeah. Good. Good. So that is a good technique.
That seems to work pretty well.
Mm-hmm. What's another technique for people saying hello?
Well,
another one that you use?
You know, sometimes it's just going to be, you know, while you're standing in line waiting for to get your lunch or whatever the refreshments are, you just easily strike up a conversation. You can one of the mm-hmm. easiest ways I've found is, especially if you're new, you can mm-hmm. say, you know, I've not been to this particular event before. Have you been here?
Yeah.
Look for, you know, that common point of interest. If they haven't, then the two of you together can kind of commiserate a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
If they have, then you can ask for their advice. And asking
uh-huh.
questions is the best thing in the world you can do at a networking event. Don't talk, ask questions. If you are asking questions of them, they get to talk about their favorite topic themselves.
Mm-hmm.
So
good.
You don't have to worry about what to say. And ironically, mm-hmm. if you end up asking all the questions of them and letting them talk, they're going to think you are the most sparkling conversationalist in the entire world.
Isn't that true? Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, because you bring out them. Exactly.
Exactly.
So let's say you've done that. You've done the hello. What's next? What should people do next in the conversation?
Well, usually it's very natural for example, one of these chamber events is to exchange, you know, the what do you do for a living or what brings you here. I usually go with the what brings you here because then they can talk about either their business or if they are in between employment opportunities right now, they can say, well, I'm looking for work, instead of having to embarrass them with the, you know, where do you work? Oh, I'm not working right now, you know.
Yeah.
You know, you kind of want to be sensitive to that.
That's a good tactful point. Mm-hmm.
But then you can ask them more about their business or where they used to work or where they hope to work, basically just drawing them out, finding out more about them. If you feel that kind of chemistry, like you would like to continue the conversation, of course, you know, if you feel, sit with them, if there happens to be a sort of an opportunity to sit down and eat and break bread together. If not, get their card. This is a big point. Don't worry about giving them your card. Get their card. You have to be the one responsible for the relationship.
Mm-hmm.
So you get their card, and then later on, afterwards, you call them or email them and ask if they'd like to get together for coffee so you can continue the conversation and continue to develop the relationship.
Okay. So that'll be hard for people, but yeah. So you get cards. Do you, Greg, recommend writing notes on the cards?
I do, with one caveat. It's always, I think, polite to ask permission.
Mm-hmm.
If you get someone's card, just quickly say, I hope, do you mind if I write on this? No one that I've ever dealt with has ever cared if you write on their card.
Mm-hmm.
But it's just a little bit of extra courtesy,
mm-hmm.
so that, you know, you're not just scrawling all over it. You're actually showing some concern for their feelings.
Yeah. Particularly if they just paid a lot of money for them or something. Yeah.
Exactly. And of course, there's always that chance that they're going to hand you one of those nifty little plastic ones that you can't write on, but you know, you'll have to do the best you can.
Right. The other thing that I really like to do with cards is actually look at the card, you know, pay attention to it, imprint it in my head who this person is and what it is I want to contact them about, or you know, we might have in common, or there might be some touch points. And to make a comment about the card, particularly if it's a really nice one, that's just, people like that, that you notice,
certainly,
as opposed to you just stick it in your pocket or in your purse or something.
Ironically, as I understand, that is a very Japanese style, which is you actually pay very, you know, you don't just stick that card in your pocket, you actually pay attention to it and you make some comment about it.
Is bowing involved?
I'm sure there is. I don't know all the details. I just know that particular one.
Okay. Okay. Well, what are some of the worst networking mistakes you've seen and some our listeners should avoid?
Well, one of the, I mean,
sure, there's a bunch.
Yeah, I've got actually a whole series I called the Field Guide to Limited Networkers. Some of them are almost always, if there's something about a networking event that bothers you, then probably that's a bad networking technique. So, for example, selling, walking in with the intent of trying to get a sale, no one wants to be around you. I've heard it referred to as having commission breath, and there's no mint in the world that can save you from that. So the whole idea of a networking event is to make good connections. Effectively, you're making friends, or a business equivalent thereof. It's just, you want to go in, you want to say hello, you don't want to sell, and so that's one thing, is avoid the sell. See, I'm trying to think of some of the other ones. One of the mistakes that a lot of people make, I'll hear them walking out of events wondering why they bothered. It seemed like, you know, it was a waste of their time. Most of the time when they're saying that, they didn't have a plan when they walked in. Now, I am a strong proponent of setting your goals before you walk in the door. And the goals can be whatever you want them to be. I actually recommend for people who are brand new to networking, maybe the first thing, the only goal they should have is to find the restroom. If they can do that, they're done. They finished their goal. People who are a little more advanced, I recommend, say, meet two new people and get their business cards. If you're really advanced, you might meet two new people, find out some challenges they're going to have in the upcoming year, and put them in touch with someone from your network who can help them. Now, of course, that's a fairly advanced goal. But the whole idea is, if you set that goal, you know when you're done. You know what, you have achieved something. And then you can go home.
Right. And feel good about it.
And feel good about it,
yeah.
Very much so.
Yeah.
In fact, I usually tell people you should have your network, you should have your networking goals accomplished before you go to the lunch line.
Yeah. I like that. I like that.
Gives you a little added incentive.
Well, some of the things that just make me wince are when people are handing out cards all over the place. Like
I
everybody
refer, that
at
is,
the table.
Yeah, that's called dealing the deck.
Here's my card, you know.
Yep.
That's so funky.
I
had one guy who actually collected, he had like a stack of 40 cards or something, and he said, just so you know, I'm putting you on my mailing list for my newsletter, and then started sending me this salesy newsletter with no unsubscribe, which I think is against the law.
Yeah, I believe that violates the Canned Spam Act.
But that stuff is icky. And then the other thing that I see that just drives me nuts is when people are really, and I think it sets them up to have a bad experience, when they're really quick to assess and dismiss somebody they meet. Oh, this person can't help me. This person doesn't have anything for me. This person I can't sell to. Because you never know. And it's about being interested in other people and making connections, not about who can buy from me now. I mean, they
exactly.
could live next door to the gold mine contact of your life. You don't know. But
you
they're
hit
really
the nail right
to
on
do that.
That.
And then look around. You start looking around for other people so that they can get somebody that really matters to talk to.
Very much. That's one of the things I tell people is that when you go to those networking events, you are not looking for clients. You're looking for ambassadors.
Mm-hmm.
People who are going to be looking out for you. But the only way that they're going to do that is if you're looking out for them.
Yeah. Yeah, what a nice concept. Be an ambassador, be a host, look at what you can do to help other people. And don't expect it to turn around and become something financially useful to you in the near future. Expect it to take some time, just like building any trusting relationship would take. Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah. What's the difference between an okay networker and a great networker? I'm sure you've seen some people that are really fabulous. You talked about a couple of people that were. What's the difference?
You know, okay networkers, I think it's only a matter of scale of the scale of what they can accomplish. The okay networkers, they follow the rules. The really truly great ones, they live the rules. They take all of these little hints and stuff, and they never violate them.
Uh-huh.
The good ones do the best they can. And so it's a process. There's no line in the sand between good and great. It's a continuum. As we get better at it, we get better at being networkers. So.
Well, you know, you're an example of it's a learnable skill because obviously you're a great networker.
And well, thank you.
I never would have guessed that it was ever hard for you, having met you in recent years. So what do we say to folks who are listening right now and they're saying to themselves, but I just hate networking. It's just not me.
Most people who are saying that are trying to sell. The people who if you are, that's the same thing as saying, I don't like friends. They're just not, you know, they're just not me.
They're not me.
You know, it's really, if you always keep in mind that you're trying to create friends, then you're going to be in good shape from that point on. And you'll have a lot more fun.
Absolutely. So you don't think this is the personality trait that you're born with?
No. Like I said, I was the one at the school dance standing off the side, so.
Yeah. You know, I do think some people are innately, they have an easier time with it. Definitely. And I think
but
some
there's
people
no excuse not
it,
to cry.
Oh, yeah. And I think some people have seen it modeled. Like, I have a client whose dad is incredible as a networker. He is just, like, such a people person. And she's watched him in action and learned some stuff from him.
Mm.
But it's definitely something that you can always get better at and learn. So we have a very short time left. Let's let people know if they'd like to get more information about you or they'd like to find you on the web or they'd like to get more information about networking, where they could go. What would you suggest, Greg?
Sure. You can. I have a website called thereluctantnetworker.com.
Okay.
And that is thereluctantnetworker.com. Don't forget that the at the front.
Okay. T-H-E-V, okay.
ReluctantNetworker.com. And that's
okay.
got access to tools and tips and the blog that I've been writing for the last 6 months or so.
Cool. And we already talked about those books, the Never Eat Alone and Nonstop Networker. So lots of good places to start. Thank you so much, Greg. It's been a pleasure. Time has just really flown by.
Well, thank you.
And keep networking, and we'll all keep learning.
We'll see you soon.
Okay. Take care.
You too. Bye-bye.
Bye. Thank you for joining us tonight on the Leadership Focus. The show which gives you new ideas, interesting guests, and actionable strategies to help you be an incredible leader with a more balanced life. We hope that you've enjoyed the show. If you have, please go to Blog Talk Radio and become a friend, even a networking friend, and make us a favorite. To sign up for our free newsletter with more tips and strategies you can use, go to focuscoaching.net on the web. Until next time, this is your host, Lisa Pasbjorg, urging you to be a better leader every day.